Okay, so we're on the Megillah Daf Kaf Gimel tonight. Let me just go back to the Mishnah on Kaf Aleph Amud Beis for a minute. 21a, the Mishnah on Kaf Aleph Amud Aleph, I just want to go back. If you look at the first white line in the Mishnah, Kaf Aleph Amud Aleph, in the small Zion, the Talmud Mishnah says, B'yom Tov Kamisha, on Yantav we have five aliyahs, B'yom Kippurim Shisha, on Yom Kippur we have six aliyahs, the Shabbat Shiva, and on Shabbat we have seven. In Pochtim Mehen, you can't do less than five on Yom Tov, less than six on Yom Kippur, less than seven on Shabbos. I've almost seen it. It could be Moshe. And let's look at the Rashi. The Rashi is on an earlier Rashi. There's Ba'ein Moshe and only him. That's an earlier part of the Mishnah. It says, Shlo Yitzhel Tzibur, Nishen Yimei Malacha. In other words, if it's a work day, you can't be Moshe. In other words, let's say it's weekday or it's Cholomoed, I can't be Moshe. If there's a work day, and you'll be mivatel people. Shabbat and Mincha Simach L'Chashchehu, Reikol Yoma Yirigun L'Drosh. And on Shabbos, it's late in the day, so we can't add on there. So the Ran says that within the Shita of Rashi, it sounds like Rashi Shita is that you could be Mosif on Yantiv. You could be Mosif on Yom Kippur. You could be Mosif on Shabbos, because according to Rashi, the only issue is it a work day or not? So if it's not a work day, people aren't going to lose it. Extraly is, so mainly you could do it. But the Ran himself says that it's just Shabbos you could be Mosif, is the way the Ran takes it. All right, now let's turn to the Gemara Chaf Gimel Min Aleph 23a. Everybody with me? Okay, so Chaf Gimel Min Aleph. So it's on the top line. Yom Tov Chamisha, Yom Kippurim Shisha. Kule. So we said on Yom Tov we have five of these and Kippur six. So the Gemara says, "Ma'itin mani." According to whom does our Mishnah go? Lo Rabbi Shmuel v'Lo Rabbi Akiva. Apparently, our Mishnah does not follow the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, not Rabbi Akiva, who we're going to find out in a minute. The Tani, we learned the Braisa, Yom Tov Chamisha on the Yantif five aliyahs, Yom Kippurim Shisha with Shabbat Shiva. So far, so good. Ain Pochtemihen. You can't have less than that. So far, so good. Ain Mosif on the Yantif five, but it can't be Mosif on it. So according to the way that Rashi learns, the way the Ran understands Rashi, so it's mechulak on all those halakot, because each one I could be Mosif, and according to the way the Ran learns, I could be Mosif on Shabbos, but here the Tana says I can't. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. So our Mishnah is not following Rabbi Shmuel. We're on Chaf Gimel Min Aleph, around five lines down. Rabbi Akiva Omer, B'yom Tov Chamisha, Rabbi Akiva says, you have five, B'yom Kippurim Shiva, Yom Kippur, you have seven aliyahs. That's certainly not like the time of our Mishnah. With Shabbat Shisha, Shabbos, we only have six aliyahs. So why would I have seven aliyahs on Yom Kippur? So I was talking to, I spoke to Rabbi Packer and Rabbi Sobolovsky. Rabbi Packer thought it was Yom Kippur, Shabbat, Shabbat. Tell him, Rabbi Sobolovsky was saying, like, to be the aspect of Yom Kippur, it has, like, it's Yom Slicha, has all this, you know, added on to it. So it's you know, a more chashuv day according to the Tana Rabbi Akiva. In Pochtin Mehen, we can't have less those aliyahs almost seifin aleihem. So the Gemara says, Mani. So according to whom does our Mishnah go that we just read a few moments ago? E Rabbi Shmuel, if we'll say that the Tana of our Mishnah follows Rabbi Shmuel, Kasha Tosefet. So the number of aliyahs work out well, but Rabbi Shmuel in the Braisa we just learned says you can't add on to the aliyahs, and the Tana of our Mishnah says I could. Rabbi Akiva, if we'll say our Mishnah follows Rabbi Akiva, we're on line 10 on Chaf Gimel Min Aleph, 23a, line 10. It says, Rabbi Akiva, Kasha, Shisha, B'Shiva. But according to Rabbi Akiva, so Rabbi Akiva learns that six is on Shabbos and seven is on Yom Kippur, that doesn't match up. So Amar Rava, so Rava says, Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuelhi. The Tana of our Mishnah on Chaf Aleph is the same as the Tana that teaches the following Braisa from the base Medrash Rabbi Shmuel. The Tana of Rabbi Shmuel, Braisa was taught in the base Medrash Rabbi Shmuel. Yom Tov Chamisha, good. Yom Tov, you have five aliyahs. Yom Kippurim Shisha, good. Yom Kippur, you have six. The Shabbat Shiva, also good. In Pochtin Lehen, you can't have less than that. I've almost seen in Lehen, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Those are the words of Rabbi Shmuel, the way it's taught in this Braisa. So that opinion seems to be on all fours with our Mishnah. But the Gemara says, but a moment ago, I had the opinion Rabbi Shmuel was quoted in the Braisa on, you know, on line three of this daf, And that came out differently. He said in that version, you poked in the most even layer. You can't add on to Lilias. Now according to Rabbi Shmuel, that I can add on to Lilias. So Kash to Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shmuel. So I have a contradiction between the statements of Rabbi Shmuel. So the Gemara says, trade Tanai, leave the Rabbi Shmuel. In other words, there are two Tanayim who dispute what the Tana Rabbi Shmuel said. So our Mishnah follows like that second Brisa, you know, Tana Rabbi Shmuel, that is, you know, in Poktin, but you can be Mosif. All right. Who's questions, comments, thoughts, and anything we did so far? Everybody good? What? About the Elias? I don't recall that there. I don't see it marked off in the Gemara. What? Yeah. I'm so sorry to hear that, Baruch Dan MS. I'm sorry, what? All right. I'll talk to you a little bit later. Okay. So the all right. So I'm going to move on to the Gemara if there's no questions. Okay. So let's see further. So okay. So now the Gemara says we're around five lines above where it gets wide on Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. Man Tana Lahadatani. Who's the Tana of the following Braisa? The Braisa says, Yom Tov Machrin Levo Marin Latseif. On Yantu, we delay coming to Shul, and then we leave early. And Rashi says, Mamarin Latseif, the fourth line in Rashi, wide line, let's say, Mishum Simchat Yom Tov. In other words, enjoy the Simchat Yom Tov. You want to have the meal and enjoy Yom Tov. Yom Kippurim, Memarin Levo, in Yom Kippur, we try to get shul early, and we delay our exit. So in Yom Kippur, we're going to be late coming out from shul. With Shabbat, Memarin Levo, Shabbos, we get to shul early, he says, and Rashi says on the first narrow line, Shekhar Tiknum Akol Me Erev Shabbat, they already prepared all the food on Erev Shabbos. It's good to come early, so you recite Shema like Batikin. He says, so back in the Gemara, we leave early. So it comes out from this Braisa that on Yantiv and on Shabbat, you're rushing out, but on Yom Kippur, you're going to delay your exit. So Lema, Rabbi Akiva, is like Gavri Yateira. Should we say that this Braisa follows Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva holds that on Yom Kippur, you have an additional aliyah, right? Because according to Rabbi Akiva, on Yom Kippur, you have seven aliyahs, Shabbos, you have six. So since the Tana of the Braisa says it's going to be delayed, the Gemara assumes maybe it's this additional aliyah. Our aliyahs only last a few minutes, but maybe they'd study it or expound on it, or anyway, whatever would take longer. So the Gemara says, last narrow line, our people came to Rabbi Shmuel, did not fish see Dura the Yom. You could even say that it follows the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel and like the kind of our Mishnah that there is six aliyahs on Yom Kippur, but nevertheless, the Nafish Sidur Yom, the Seder Yom, going through the Avoda, everything takes much longer. So, you know, even though maybe no Piyutim at that point in time, but there's much more to say, and that could account for the fact that you're so late living Shul on Yom Kippur. All right, now, the Gemara now focuses on the Aliyahs. So we said that on Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos afternoon, we have three Aliyahs. And then Rosh Chodesh Kol Moed at 4, Yantav 5, Yom Kippur according to the time of our Mishnah 6, and Shabbos 7. So the Gemara says, "Hani Shlosha Chamisha V'Shiva K'negenu." What these 3, 5, and 7 leaves correspond to? Now let's look at the top Tosfos on the top left hand corner. Top Tosfos. It says, "Hani Shlosha V'Chamisha K'negenu." Now I should add on for the Ritva. The Ritva says over here that the main reason we have more aliyahs is what the Gemara said earlier. The Gemara said, "Kolat vele milta michavre." Any day that's like has an additional, you know, some aspect that's greater kedusha than its neighboring day, tvele gavre yatera has another person. So the Gemara, that's the main reason. So the Ritva wants to say that the psukim that the Gemara gives is just drashas that they want to give in. But the main reason is that, you know, it's a higher kedusha. But let's see what the Tosfos says. So first Tosfos is bothered. Why doesn't it have six? Why doesn't it say, you know, we got, in other words, we three is the minimum that we got. And then, and the Gemara learned to think three, the opposite, Kohen and Levim, Yisrael, Lim. And anyway, so three we got. Then we have four, five, six, and seven. Now, our Gemara only addressed itself to five, to three, five, and seven. Let's see what's doing. So, honey, shlosha, v'chamish, 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 v'chamish. But later on, the six, the Gemara will come to that. The Gemara only has six in a few lines that we got. He says, but Kasha, Amailo by me, Arbash, or Shkodesh, can I get me? Why doesn't the Gemara ask, what about the four Rosh Chodesh? What does that correspond to? Why doesn't the Gemara address four? Bishlomar, the Kimle Tama, the Musaf, Kasha, the Tuye, Chad Gavra. So the Gemara says, the Rotoso says, the fact that there's a Musaf on Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh, that's enough to suffice to have an extra Leah. Aval, the Tfuye Kolkach, let's look at the Bach. Al Tfuye Kolkach, Beshabar, Beyom Tov, Misho Malacha, Bekari, Beskila, Lo Sfir Luhu. So, Post wants to say that the additional, you know, Yom Tov, in other words, Musaf cuts it. But what does Yom Tov have? That's an Easter Malacha. What does Shabbos have? Or Yom Kippur, Easter Kari. What does Shabbos have? An Easter Skila. Those reasons they don't hold would be sufficient. He says, we hadn't find it. So from Tosfos, it sounds not like the Ritva. It sounds like Gufa, we need these, we'll move them. Let's see what the Gemara says. So the first wide line back in the Gemara, Hani Shlosha, Hanisha, B'Shiva, Kenegami, Pliyiba, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani, B'Chadime. So Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani and one person with him, Umanu, Rabbi Shimon Pazi. Who's that person? Rabbi Shimon Pazi. They have a disagreement. Or, but Amrila, others say, is Rav Shimon Pazi b'chadime. Was Rav Shimon Pazi, you know, discusses this with somebody with him? Umanu, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani. So either way, that would come out to be the same people. But Amrila, others say that who is the person with Rav Shimon Pazi? Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani. Anyway, either way, two chachamim have a dispute. Chadamar, can I get birkat konim? One says that the three, five, and seven correspond to the words in Birchas Konim. If you think about Birchas Konim, so it's Yivarecha Hashem Yishmarecha, three words. Then the next bracha is Ya'er Hashem Panav Ve'lecha Vichuneka, five words. And then the next bracha, Yisa Hashem Panav Ve'lecha V'semlecha Shalom, seven words. So that's why these aliyahs in some way are connected to it. So I think in some way it's like linking the Kriyas Torah with Birchas Konim. So there's probably Simon Wolf was saying that I was listening to his thing. He was saying, like, Birchas Kohanim, he's a minion, and this is also something like that. But we'll see in a minute. He says, V'chad Amar, Kineged Shlosha Shomrei Hasaf. One says three corresponds to the three Shomrei Hasaf. These are like the guardians of the Beis Hamikdash. The Saf is the threshold. They have the keys, and that's what Rabbi Leibowitz was saying. He says, then Chamisha Meruai Pnei HaMelech. There are five counselors of the king, and Shivaroi Panayamelot, and seven counselors of the king. So it's three, five, and seven. Anyway, that creates a Torah with like royalty or something like that. That's what Rabbi Leibowitz and Rabbi Simon Wolf were supposed to say. Now, let's just see a little bit more. Let's see the Rashi. Rashi says the eighth narrow line, Chamisha Meruai Panayamelot, Shivaroi Panayamelot. The Rashi connects it to a pasuk in the Megillah, the seven, you know, officers of Parasim Adai, and from them there are five, like an inner counselor, so it mentions Shoshashomei Asaf at the end of Sefer Malachim. The Rashi says there are also like five that are like more important. Let's see Tosfos. Shiva Rawe Panayamela, Pirish Kuntrish Achashverosh. So Rashi says it's the Pasuk about Achashverosh. The Kasha Lamarsh Tukhamimik Neged in a notional Torah Shah. It's hard to say the Chamim established something based on what this Rasha Achashverosh says. The Kach Pirish Rabin Otam, Otanakuvim Sefer Yirmia, Uvim Lachim Kib Kamishah. So he says it's talking about in Yirmia, he mentions seven in Rawe Panayamela, and then Malachim mentions five. Sheshnaim Shlo Huzku Malachim in Sofrei Dayanim. So it mentions seven in Yirmiyah and five in Malachim because there's Sofrei Dayanim, like the royal scribe. Now, there's a piece. Let me just do it in the line through the Gemara. Back in the Gemara, the fifth white line. So Tani Rav Yosef, Shoshah Hamisha V'Shiva. So Rav Yosef taught the following brisa, 3, 5, and 7. Shoshah Shomrei Hasaf, Hamisha Roei Pnei Melach, Shiva Roei Pnei Melach. Amalei Abayi Ara Idna Mai Tamal Parshan Mar. He says, how come you never explained this to us before? Abayi says, Rav Yosef. And Amalei Lo Havi Yadana Shachitule. I didn't know you needed it. And me by Itami Nani Miltav Lo Amri Lefluk. You'd ask me, wouldn't I have told you? And I was discussing this with our packer today, and I think he was like he was agreeing, like in other words, like the idea is like you have to ask your rabbi for things. Now, there's a the Rav had a whole shiur he gave on this. I didn't look up at the shiur, but I did see in one of the sfarim, it's shiurim from the Rav that they came out with the shiurim from the OU, Rabbi Ganak is this sefer, I believe, and. I had a friend in the base manager who pointed it out to me, so I looked at it. So he was saying that, and I went through it, lightly. He was saying that, the king has a mitzvah to write a second Sefer Torah. And the Rav was saying that the writing of that second Sefer Torah implies a chiyuv of Talmud Torah. He has to learn. And the Rav wanted to say that these people would learn Torah with him. So in other words, you have the Shlosha Shomrei Hasaf, they'd be learning Torah with the king and dart making different drashas with it. And that's the way he wanted to say it. It relates to aliyahs in the Torah. And then that way it relates to aliyahs in the Torah. All right. Now, let me just see what I have here and then we'll pause and we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. One second. This stuff, what we got? All right. Let me just do this one piece from the Daf Digest and take a pause. Now we said the Gemara said, "B'yom tov ma'achrin lavo." On Yom Tov, you come late to shul and mar latay. And when you come late to shul, it doesn't mean shul is called for 9 o'clock. You come at 9:30. They start later, right? So Rashi explains that the reason people came late to shul on Yom Tov was that they were involved in preparing the meal before coming to shul. The Kri Chadash questions the permissibility of this practice from the halacha that prohibits one from engaging in personal activities before davening Shmoneh Esrei. Whereas the implication is, as Rashi says on the third white line, which we did, that Yom Tov Ma'achrin Lavo, and Yom Tov were delayed coming to shul, the Beit HaKnesset, Tzarich L'Truach B'Sfeg Yom Tov, Kach Purush V'Sech Tofrim. Rashi says people are preparing the meal. So the Kri Chadash says, but you're not supposed to do work activities before davening. So how could they prepare meals before davening Yom Tov? It is prohibited to involve such activities before davening. The Pri Megadim explains that preparing Yom Tov meals is considered a God-related activity, Chafti Shemayim, rather than a personal activity, is therefore permitted before davening. An application of this ruling is that it's permissible for one to shop Friday morning for Shabbos before davening if one is fearful that waiting until after davening will result in the items no longer being available. So he's got a partial heter to go food shopping on Friday morning before davening. This ruling is cited by the Mishnah Berurah, and he adds that one should recite Kriyat Shema before shopping. Interestingly, in his second place, the Mishnah Berurah addresses this issue and rules that it is certainly permitted to shop for Shabbos needs on Friday morning before davening, and he makes no distinction as to whether the items will or will not be available after davening. There are authorities that write that not only are preparations for the Shabbos Yom Tov meal considered to be God-related activities, but preparing for guests and even for one's small children can also be considered God-related activities and thus permitted before davening in the morning. Rabbi Yaakov Emden questions the premise of the Gemara. Brisa states that davening is delayed on Yom Tov so the festive Yom Tov meals could be prepared. Since when do men prepare the meals? Is it not the women who prepare the meals? So here they're saying, we're assuming it's the men are coming late to shul, but aren't the women preparing the meals? That being the case, why is davening delayed when the women are busy preparing the meals? Rav Emden answers that although the women may be preparing the meal, the men must stay home to watch the house and the children. Consequently, davening began at a later hour. So in other words, men have a role. And those women, I don't know, they got to prepare the meal. You look like the men are maybe watching the kids or something like that. All right. Anyway, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did so far?
I have a quick question. What was the Gemara thinking about Yom Kippur, that you could delay going home? We're talking about the middle of the day of Yom Kippur. Do they mean after Musaf? What was the Seder Hayom?
Yeah, right, right. It means after Musaf, right.
After Musaf, and so they would go
home. I mean,
and
if you think it over, like all our piyutim were written after the Zman of Gemara. So if you take away the piyutim from the davening, it's really much, much, much shorter, right? In other words, like
for so they would have a break on Yom Kippur too. In other words, like we have.
Well, I'm sure they would have had a break. I would think, you know. So,
and so the idea was Gemara trying to say, don't make your break so long, like take a longer davening. I mean, is that the idea?
No. It's just saying that on Yom Kippur, the Metzias is you're going to leave shul later because you're going to daven more than this morning davening.
We prefer people not to have so much bittul time on Yom Kippur. So maybe the idea is to lengthen the davening with, you know, chazanas.
I don't know.
Maybe they came back now.
I don't know if that's the purpose of the lengthening of the davening, to keep people out of trouble on Yom Kippur, but that may be an effect of it. Okay. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? All right. David, you want to say something? You're done. Okay, so I'm gonna move on then. Okay. All right, let's take a look further in the Gemara. And again, we have the Siyum next Thursday, January 13th. And my understanding is being sponsored by Yosef Rahmani and Daniel Fodadani, and we're very grateful for their sponsorship. All right, let's look back on the Gemara. Now, the Gemara says we're around the eighth very wide line of Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. Amrli Yaakov Mina the Rabbi Yehuda. So Yaakov Mina said Rabbi Yehuda. So it sounds like Mina sounds like a min, a heretic. So if it would be that way, Yaakov, the heretic, said to Rabbi Yehuda. So if you look at Rashi, Tosos rather, the third Tosos, Amar Yaakov Matzah Garcinon. Matzah means like the mat maker. He says, Shim have a min, if you would be a min, he says, Lo have a maz kiro Yaakov, that keep shamer shimir kab. So the Gemara wouldn't mention his name. It would say, like, this Rabbi Ligu would say, Ahumina said something like that. It wouldn't say Yaakov Mina. So, or then I think Rabbi Yaakov Emden wants to say that Mina is the name of a place. But anyway, so Amar Li Yaakov Mina the Rabbi Yehuda. So now we come to the six aliyahs we have in Yom Kippur. What do they correspond to? Amar Li, Shisha Sha'andu Miminoshal Ezra, the Shisha Mismolo. They correspond to the six people who stood to the right of Ezra and six to the left when he lay before the people. That Ezra Sofer stood on the Migdal Eitz, I imagine like the Bima, he says that they made specially for that event. By Amod Islo, on his right, Matitya, the Shema Va'anaya, that's three, the Uriya Vachilkio Masaya, Yimino, six on his right. Umi Smolo, and to his left, Pidaya, Umi Shael, Umalkia, the Chashum, B'chashbadana, Zecharya, Meshulam. So if you add up the number of people on the left, it is up to seven. So the Gemara says, Hani Shivahabu, that's seven, not six. So Hainu Zecharya, Hainu Meshulam. So the Gemara says, Zecharya, Meshulam, that's the same person. He says, Vamai Karu Meshulam. Why did they call him Meshulam? And his real name was Zecharya. But they call him Zecharya Meshulam, whatever. That's what it sounds like. The Mishlam Ba'ovade. He was complete in his actions. Rashi, it means he was righteous. Rashi says, the Mishnah Bavade Tamim B'Masav, right? All right, now we're six lines from the bottom on the Chafim Amud Aleph. Tanur Banan, we learn the Braisa, I call only the Minyan Shiva. Everyone can, you know, join in this as part of the seven aliyahs. He says, Bafilu Katan, even a Katan, a boy who's less than the age of Bar Mitzvah, but the Poskim say he has to be Yodei L'mim B'Barach, and he has to know who he's making the Bracha for. Even a woman be part of the seven aliyahs. He says, "Aval ruach chachamim, but the chachamim have taught us, Yishalot prab Torah, the woman shouldn't lay from the Torah. If they quote Sibur, it's not quote Sibur. It's a simple pshad. The men are chayiv in Talmud Torah. Women are not chayiv in Talmud Torah. So if priest Torah is type of Talmud Torah, it's like a big embarrassment of busha. The people who are obligated, you know, don't know enough for to get the aliyah, so it's not appropriate. Women should get the aliyah. I was looking today, and this is say from Mishnah Chachamim on Shulchan Aruch, and he was quoting from Rav Avadi Yosef that Rav Avadi wants to say. I was bothered by this. Why it's not Kol Isha? The woman would lane, and she do the trap. So I would think that's probably Kol Isha as well. And I think, and Rabbi Stolbilovsky said people speak about it, but I think people, you know, elsewhere, I think I've seen that people do discuss it, but the but Rabbi Banya wanted to say that you see that it's not full Isha if she would lane. That's what Rabbi Banya wanted to say. No, he didn't. Or this is like a synopsis, you know, or just quoting from Rabbi Banya. Let's take a look back on the Gemara. He says, now as far as the katan is concerned, so the minhag, the way the Mishnah brings the minhag among Ashkenazim is we Ashkenazim don't have a katan have an aliyah. We never let them have an aliyah except for maftir. And it was the katan he get maftir. And indeed in Europe, so young, you know, boys would get the haftorah before they were bar mitzvah. That would be the way we'd done. In other words, like they wouldn't wait till they were bar mitzvah. They would be like before the bar mitzvah, they would get the haftorah. But I saw he was quoting, and I've heard this as well, that I think Sfardim are somewhat mechulak on this, and they take it that, you know, younger people could get aliyahs if they're, you know, like the din of the mechaber, that a katan could be olam in shiva. Do you want to add in anything on this? That you, what? You don't. All right. I've heard that. What? Mafti, which was that's a, oh, not to get the brachot. All right. I've heard this. Maybe the Syrian community. I've heard that the Syrian community that they do permit that. Okay. Let's see further in the Gemara. So the Gemara says. The question was asked in the Beis Medrash, Maftir, Moshilim, and Shivim. So Maftir is an Aliyah who's also going to say the Haftorah. So can that Aliyah count for one of the, as part of the seven that I'm going to do? So Rav Huna, Rav Yomir Bar Abba, Chadamar Olam, Chadamar Ein Olam. This is my Chloket Amurayim. And we hold the Lacha that the Maftir is not Olam and Shivim. So Mandamar Ola, the Hakara, the one who says he counts, look, he's reading from the Torah, that's fine, he's one of the seven, that's it. Mandamar Ola, the one who says, no, he can't count, to the Ula, like Ula. Amar Ula, Lina Maftir Ben Aviz, Rishik Rabba Torah Tchila. Why is it that the Maftir, meaning the person who recites the Haftorah, why does he have to get an Aliyah from the Torah? In other words, I would think, I'll do the Priest of Torah, I'll have seven Aliyahs, and then somebody else will say the Haftorah. Why is it the one who says the Haftorah also gets an Aliyah from the Torah for? So he says, they quote Torah. Because of the quote Torah, meaning, if I would do it that way, so it looks like, you know, like you can get an Aliyah. In other words, let's say, imagine that the Haftorah you're reading from Klaf. So they have the Sefer Torah, and people get Aliyahs from that. They say a Baruch before and say it after. And then a person gets the Haftorah, and he says a bracha before he reads, and he says several bracha after he reads. I'd say the Nevi'im are the same as the Torah. It's like there's an equivalence. Then there's not the Torah is more kashrut than the Navi. They're both the same. You say a bracha after, before and after. This you say a bracha before, and actually several bracha after. So they're equal. That's what I would think. So that would be a zilzul and kavod for the Sefer Torah. So instead we do it, that the person first, he gets an aliyah, and then he says the Haftorah. In other words, there's a chashivas in the Torah always first. So, b'kaven the mishum ko Torah, since this aliyah is only being done out of kavod for the Torah, the only reason where he's getting the aliyah is that there should be a zilfal kavod of Torah, the minyan alo salik. It doesn't count as part of the seven aliyahs, okay? So that's the machloket. So, meifei, on this we ask a kasha from the following braisa. The braisa says, that if one is maftir, meaning he's reciting the Haftorah, it should be at least 21 psukim. The Haftorah should be at least 21 psukim. Can they get shiva shikaru b'torah? In other words, corresponding to the seven liyas that read in the Torah, that he had seven liyas, so each liya in the Torah had to have at least three psukim. So in the same way that the Haftorah, I'm going to have three psukim in the Navi corresponding to the Shiva, the Shiva aliyahs. So 3 times 7 is 21. Vimita, and if it would be true that the Maftir is not Olam and a minion, in other words, if Maftir doesn't count as part of the seven kruim, so there's really eight aliyahs, right? In other words, if I count the Maftir, I have seven aliyahs. If I don't count the Maftir, I have eight aliyahs. So I really have eight people got aliyahs. So we need to ask from Yarbahavia. So it should be 24 psukim. I should have to learn 24 psukim. That's the kasha. The Bryce is only 21. That's a raya that the maftir is olim in the Shiva. So the Gemara says, came in the mission ko Torahu, says, since the whole maftir is just out of Kavod Torah, in other words, it's just, there shouldn't be a zilzul in Torah, it says, Kenegdo Nami Lobai. So we don't need to do three psukim that correspond to the maftir. All right, now, Makif Rava. So Rava asks, we said the half Torah has to have 21 psukim. So Makif Rava. Rava asks Kasha, he says, Vare Elokechem Sepu, Elohavin Esrim Bechad, the Karinan. Says, but we have half Torahs that are in 21 psukim, and one, and this is the way the Mechaber brings it down, is the half Torah for Parshat Tzav, which is Olotechem Sepu El Zibchechem. So that's not 21 psukim, and yet we lay in it. So the Gemara says, Shani Hatam the Salik Inyana. It's different over there because the topic ended. In other words, if it's a clear end to a topic, so it doesn't have to be 21 psukim. But Hechad Lo Salik Inyana Lo, you mean if the topic didn't end, so then we would not do less than 21. But Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Abba, Rav Shmuel Bar Abba said, Zimin Skin, many times, Havakim Kamid Rabbi Yochanan. I was standing before Rabbi Yochanan when they were reciting the Half Torah. But he Abba Karina Asar Psuke, as soon as we would say 10 psukim in the Half Torah, Amar Lanav Siku. He says, stop. And there was Yavanav, Genog. So here we're saying the Half Torah has to be 21 psukim. He says, many times, and I said, Salak and Yana, he says, different. But as many times as for Rabbi Yochanan, we'd say Tepsukim in the Navi, and he'd say, sorry, you know, that's enough. So he says, so the Gemara says, Makom Shish Turgman Shani. If there's a Turgman, a translator, who's translating the Psukim into Aramaic, it's different. So Rashi learns, let's see Rashi, the second white line, Makom Shish Turgman Shani, Shish Turgman Tibur. It's a big Tirka for the Tibur to go back and forth. So there we can cut back if there's a Turgman. But I saw a different shot. They said that the Turgaman, it's like you have 21 psukim. This is the Meiri brings this down, and the Ran brings this down. The Meiri and the Ran both bring down that I saw the Ran inside. I don't know if I saw this Meiri inside, but they say like this, that in other words, that the psukim that the Turgaman translates also count as the Limud. So if I have 10 psukim in the Ashuri, I have 20 psukim. And then the Ran says that you repeat the last pasuk again. So you'll do the last pasuk. To be Metargimit, and in the last Pasuk, you'll say that over again. So it comes out to be 21 Psukim. That's the way they learn Pshat. So he says, the Tani Rab Techlifa Bar Shmuel, Rab Techlifa Bar Shmuel taught the following Brysa, Loshanu Makom Shein Turgman. The only reason they said 21 Psukim is no Turgman. About Makom Shein Turgman Posek, it was the Turgman, so that I can cut it short. I can cut it short. I could do it less than 21 Psukim. He says, now let's look at the top Tosfos. He says, Loshanu Makom Shein Metargimin. Now, the Gemara refers to a place that they aren't Metargim. So it sounds like it's not a definite obligation to be Metargim, because the Gemara says, Loshanu Makom Shein Metargimin. In other words, if you are Metargim or not. So Tosfos says, Yalzanu Somchin, that's what we rely on. Shein Metargimin Haftarot, we're not Metargim in Haftarot. Shebechuy Morashana. Okay, a partial, even the partial would not Metargim. That's what Tosfos says. Now, let me just see here. All right. Okay. Who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far? Nobody? All right. I'm going to move on. Let me just see if I have anything else to say from the sheets, and then we'll be it. Second. All right. Let me just do a little piece on this. This is from the Aladah. So the Gemara Chaf Gimel says that even a katan and a woman can be called to read from the Torah. The Chum said, in the dignity of the congregation, a woman reads the Torah to them, and therefore should not be done. Then he says in Mizman Chasal, each person was honored with a leave would read the portion from the Torah. He didn't have a Baal Kore. Now the Hagos Yabes asserts that when there are only six men in the shul capable of reading from the Torah, the seventh aliyah should be given to a woman who knows how to read the Torah. Okay. The Magen Avraham, however, indicates that women are disqualified from reading from the Torah in all instances, even if the men are present in the shul, cannot read from the Torah. The Magen Avraham deduces from this Gemara that women are obligated to hear Kriyas HaTorah. he argues that if women are exempt from Kriyas HaTorah, it will be obvious that they cannot read the Torah for the congregation, because the rule is that one who is exempt from mitzvah cannot perform it for others. The fact that the Gemara invokes the concept of Kvod HaTzibur as the reason women are excluded from serving as a Baal Torah indicates they have an obligation to hear Kriyas HaTorah. The Birkei Yosef deduces proof to the Magen Avraham's position from the Gemara on Chafezim and Beis, which states that on Rosh Chodesh there's extra time to give a fourth aliyah because women do not work on Rosh Chodesh. The Birkei Yosef argues that a woman's respite from work on Rosh Chodesh would not bear relevance on the laws of Kriyas HaTorah if women are exempt from the mitzvah. Although he says, the Magen Avraham concedes, however, that women customarily do not listen to Kriyas HaTorah. In fact, he observes that many women attending shul leave during Kriyas HaTorah. Right. Although we saw pshat that on Rosh Chodesh, it was that, remember, I think the Turi Evans says that originally even the men didn't do work on Rosh Chodesh, and then just devolved on the women. All right, I'm going. No, I didn't say that at all. The women are not, you need a minion for Kriyas HaTorah, and there's no minion with women. Right? And then Chazal said that, you know, quote the Torah, the women don't get the aliyahs. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Now, the next Mishnah. Okay, Manitin, Ein Porsin al Shema. Now, Poris al Shema is Matlok Rishon, what Poris al Shema means. Rashi, the way the Ron explains the Rashi, let's see the verse, the Rashi, third white line left, Ein Porsin al Shema, Minyan Abba Lebeda Knesset, La Farsh Kruat at Sibur Shema, So the way the Ran understands Rashi means like this: if 10 people daven the Yechidus, 10 people daven the Yechidus, and now they get together to form a minion. So in that circumstance, so one person will be Parei San Shema, means you'll say Kaddish and Baruch Hu, and then one of the people in the minion will recite the first bracha of Yotzer HaMa'orot out loud, and we might see everybody with that bracha, even though they already said the bracha by themselves. And then they'll do like a little mini Chazar HaShatz. That's the way in this Poreh San Shema. Now, the Ran quotes a different shita from the Gaonim, and this is what the Rambam quotes as well. He wants to say that, and then in the first shot, Poreh San Shema means, Poreh means like to slice, like piece of, because you're only doing one of the brachot of Shema. And the second shot that the Ran quotes is that if I want one person to be motzi me with Birchos Kriyat Shema, I need to have a minion. And even though some things I don't always need a minion to have be motzi with a bracha, this he holds, you do need a minion because of the kedusha that's in the bracha of Yotzer HaMa'orot. So there's a different shot. So Porsin on Shema would mean that if I want one person to be motzi me in Birchos Kriyat Shema, I have to have a minion there. So either way, in Porsin on Shema, mean over in Lifte Ateva. And over in Lifte Ateva would be like to be a Shlich Tzibur, and that works hand in glove with the first shot we said that. In other words, you have this Poreh San Shema, and this person's going to get up and daven through Kedusha. They know Sim Kapeh. I mean, it was each case you need a minion, the Gemara is going to say. And I can't duchen unless I have a minion. Being Korin Batorah, we just spoke about it, can't have priest Torah without a minion. Being Maftir and Benadvi, I can't have half Torah without a minion. Being Osim Ma'amaru Moshe. Now, Ma'amaru Moshe. So it's Machlokas Rishonim. From Rashi, it sounds like on the way to the funeral, this is going to take place. And from the Meiri, he quotes a pshat that it's on the way back from the funeral. But either way, we're going to pause 7 times and sit down and say different hespedim and then get back up again. So the Gemara is going to discuss why I need a minion for this. But I need a minion for the, he calls it Ma'amad Moshe, like standing and sitting. So I need a minion for that. I mean, Omrim Birkat Avelim. Birkat Avelim is Birkat Rechava. This certainly is after the funeral. They would sit like in the square, and there would be a series of brachot that we recited, which we don't do anymore today, but I need a minute for that. Birkat Avelim. And the Gemara discusses this Masechet Ketubot, which is coming up in Daf Yomi in another 8 months or so. But Tanchumei Avelim. Tanchumei Avelim is when people would stand in the Shura and be Menachem the Avelim. We'll discuss. Birkat Chatanim is a Sheva Brachot, any minion. Mizamni B'Shem, and I can't say Nevarech Elokeinu for Birkas Amazon, Pachot Me'asar, unless I have 10 men. It's going to be a 10 men. Ubekarkao Tisha B'Kohen, V'Adam Kiyotzei Ben. Now, it's a different halacha if a person is makdish kark in the base of Mikdash, then he wants to redeem it, so it has to be appraised. So the appraisal has to take place from 10 people, one of whom is a Kohen, and Adam Kiyotzi Behen. We don't know the Pshat, but the Gemara is going to explain. If a person said he's giving his value to the base of Mikdash, or somebody's value, so again, I need 10 people, and one of them a Kohen, to appraise the value of that person. It was like what? We'll see the Gemara. Okay, now the Gemara says, no. All right, now let's look at the second Tosfos quickly. He says, "In Purim Hashemah Pachomi Asara, v'Rishami Mefarish Mechilu BaAsara v'Yatsumik Satan Apilu Haki Gomrin." So if you began with a minion and some people left, you nevertheless finish. He says, so considering people left, it says those who forsake God will perish. But it means, like, let's say I'm in shul and I'm in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, and somebody, I know I'm a minion now, I still complete the Chazaras HaShatz, because the once you begin something, you get to complete it. All right, now the Gemara says that you need the minion. So the Gemara wants to know, what's the source for a minion? Where do I know minion in the Torah? So Manani Milay. So Amr Bchiya Bar Abba Ryokanan the Amr Kra Nikdash Tibetoch Bnei Israel. I will be sanctified in the midst of Bnei Israel. Call the Bar Shabbatush Yehi Pakol Meisar. From here we extrapolate that the Davar Shabbatush needs 10. So my Mashma, where do we see that from that pasuk? The Tani Rabbi Chiya taught the following brisa. And this, if you remember these five lines from today's daf, you're five steps ahead of the game. It says, Ad yitok tok. There's one gzeirah shava, tok tok. Tivach v'nikdash tibetok b'nei Israel. It says in Parshas Emor, it says, v'nikdash tibetok b'nei Israel. Uchtiv hatam. And then it says in Parshas Korach, ki balumi tok ha'ida hara'a azot. Separate from this bad Eda. So I know that I need an Eda for the Kedushas Hashem. And then, Va'atya Eda Eda. Then there's in the second Gzeirah Shava, Eda Eda. He says, Dechtiv Hatam Amatai Laidahara Ahazot. It says by the Meraglim, how long is this going to bad Eda going to be around? So I know the Meraglim, that's 10 bad spies. Shai is still with us? Okay. So 10 bad spies, that's Eda. So Eda, I'm going to transfer over to Korach. Separate from this bad Eda, and then from the bad Eda, I think so here there's a point from the Rav, which Rav Lerner quoted in the past, that you see that like by the Meraglim, it was 10 spies, and they were able to sway a whole congregation of people. In other words, you have the 10 spies that come back with the bad report, and they were able to sway a community of over a million people with their bad report. So he said, he was quoting from the Rav, that you see, like, just the opposite is also true. That 10 people is a powerful group, and 10 people, you know, you could do, you know, fantastic things. So 10 people, Lamutav, is also very powerful, and that's what the Gemara learns from it. Now, there are other sources that Chazal bring for a minion, but this is the one here in the Gemara. All right, any questions, comments to us, anything we did so far?
Why don't we use the example of Avram with the 10 in Sodom?
I think that might be one source that Mepharshim do bring
that's
down.
That's what I thought. That's what
I think the Ibn Ezra brings that down. But this is the source that the Babli brings down here.
That's more Kedusha like to me. Because that's again, these 10 holy people. It's an example of Kedusha. The Meraglim weren't Kedusha.
I'm asking. That you see the 10 people. Can be like can be very strong and be destructive. So, but the converse is also true. 10 people can be very, you know, constructive and right. Accomplish a tremendous amount. And that's the, like, it could be an Eda Ra or an Eda Tova. All right.
I'm just thinking it's a better example.
Yeah, but
by Avram, the 10 people were theoretical people. They didn't exist.
Yeah. Also, like, you don't see Mukhrach. It doesn't say. In other words, the implication of the Parshanut is that 10 people he would save stone. But it doesn't indicate right. That 10 people is enough for Davar Shebekusha. Here it's been a Dash Shebekok Ben Israel. All right.
Okay.
Let's take a look. All right, I'm going to go further in the Gemara. Now, we're at the two dots. So I said that according to the way Rashi seems to learn, it's on the way to the funeral, they would sit down 7 times and stand up 7 times and say keynote. And from the Meiri, sounds like the way back from the funeral, he says, So why do I need a minyan for that? For Ma'aman Moshe, in other words, it's just for a hesbedim. Came into by the Maymar, since the person, the Shliach Rashi says, is going to have to say, stand up, sit down, in other words, the Gemara wants to say, like I'm saying, like plural, like stand, sit. It's like you're going to cheapen the whole idea of a whole the process. So we're not going to do this unless we have a minyan. In other words, to say stand and this is the whole sock is going to happen. We're going to have a minyan. Otherwise, it's not there or there. It's to do less than that. Okay. So my birchat avelim, birchat rechava. So birchat rechava is the bracha. You see, it's eichen for you on the side for subas davches. It says it's coming up, and then over the Gemara goes, there were a series of brachot that were said then, we don't say it anymore, in the outside, and then they would say it to the Avelin. And so for that, we need a minion. So he says, the Amar Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yochanan, B'yurcha Avelin Ba'asar, B'yurcha Avelin is a minion, B'yurcha Avelin Ben a minion, the Avelin don't count as part of the minion. B'yurcha Chatanim Ba'asar, B'yurcha Chatanim Mishavah Brachot, the Chatanim in a minion. A Chasan is included as part of that. Okay. If we want to say Nevarach Elokeinu, I need a minyan. Came into by the Maimar, Nevarach Elokeinu, Batzir Miasar Lavorachar. It's not there, Cheres, to say Elokeinu, if you have less than a minyan. Okay, now the Gemara says, Vakparko Tisha, Madam Kiyote Behen. So we explained already in the Mishnah, it means that if a person gives a piece of car from the base of Mikdash, now he wants to redeem it, so it has to be appraised. And the appraisal will take place by a group of 10 people, of which one is a Kohen. So, Manani Mili, where do I know this halacha from? Amar Shmuel Asara Kohen Tuvim Parsha. So, in the end of Parsha B'Chukotai, it talks about different topics that relate to one topic. Where is it in Rashi? It says the Erechin is mentioned over there, a Behema, you want to redeem a Behema, and Karka, you want to. So, Erechin, you're giving the value of somebody, and then Behema, you want to redeem the Behema. It's like not a Behema, grow up as a korban, and Karki, you want to redeem. So mentions Kohenim 10 times. Chad Lagufa, one teach me the Etzim Halakha that one has to be Kohen, and then we're going to leave out the parentheses. V'ida Chabimira Karmir, V'imira Karmir Lerabot. So if I have one Miyot, it was Kohen is a Miyot. So it's Kohen. Then if a Miyot Karmir Kohen, that's a Rebuy, teach me Yisrael. So the Gemara says, Tisha Yisraelim v'chad Kohen. Me'imacham Yishak Kohen v'cham Yishak Yisraelim. So, but if it's Mi'irach or Mi'ot, it could yield the result that five Kohenim and five Yisraelim, because the first Kohen teaches me it's a Kohen. The second Kohen is a Ribuyach or Ribuy, which is really a Mi'ot, means even Yisrael. But then the third mention of a Kohen, which should teach me that I need a Kohen. And then the fourth mention should teach me that I need Yisrael. So at the end, it mentions Kohen in 10 times. If I do the hermeneutic principles properly, I should end up with five Kohenim and five Yisraelim. So the Gemara says, Kasha, that is difficult. The Gemara doesn't give the answer to that. Okay, but Adam Kiyotze Behen, a man, the Gemara doesn't understand the case, but we're going to explain it shortly. Man is the same as the Karka. Adami Kadosh is a man. Kadosh, what's going on? Am Rabbi Ba'oba Omer, Damai Alai. If a person says he's going to give his value to the Beis HaMikdash, that's what it's talking about. Not that he's Makdish himself, but he's giving his value to the base of Mikdash. Titania, Omer Damai Alai, if a person says, I'm going to give my value to the base of Mikdash, Shamin Otoke Evid, we evaluate him, we appraise him as if he would be an Evid sold in the market. The Evid Ikash the Karkau, there's a Hekesh between Evid and Karka. The Thiv, Binachal Temotel, the Nechema Karechem, the Reshanakuzar, this might be an Evid Kani, that you'll, you know, transfer them down to your sons. To inherit them, La Reshet Achuzah. La Reshet Achuzah, like a hereditary land. So the evidence is Hukash Lakarka. Okay, now let me just see if there's anything else, and then we'll wrap it up. Okay, this is. Yeah, all right, I'll do a story unless somebody has a question. Yeah. A person's Makdish green acre in the base of Mekka, and now he wants to redeem it from Hekesh. Right. Okay, all right. Now, the you know, I should mention tonight is Gimel Shvat. Tonight's the Yortzeit for Moshe Soloveitchik. The Rav would always give a big shiur this evening. They would have a big shiur in the Lamport Auditorium. And Rav Shechter writes in one of his Svarim that everybody wished each other a good yortzeit. They would see each other like once a year and say, oh, good yortzeit, or something like that. Anyway, and this the shiur would last several hours. It would last several hours. And the Rav did a lot of learning on the day of the yortzeit of his father. He fasted the day of the yortzeit, and he learned the Mishnah. All right, anyway, so now Rav Chaim Brisker, this is Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, he says, was once visiting in Lodz, Poland, and since he had not yet heard the Kriyas Torah, he was searching for Minyan men who had also not yet heard the reading. And Rav Lawrence mentioned this. He said that they would, you know, frequently travel by train, and they would get a Minyan together. And the Rav also did this when he would travel from Boston. He would gather a Minyan at Mincha so that they have Kriyas Torah. So the Rosh Yeshiva of Rad and Rav Moshe Ladzinsky Zal said to Rav Chaim, the Ran writes in Megillah that it suffices that the majority of the Minyan have not heard the reading. Why should we continue searching for more people who have not yet heard the laning? So I'm switching around. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was learning from 10 people that had priest the Torah. So the Rosh Hashiva said, you only need 6 people. The Ran says, I am rove, the minion is good. We got 6, and then 4 will be Messiah, and that's it. So there is no such Ran, explaining the Gadol. So Rav Chaim says, there's no Ran like that. So he says, Rav Moshe silently removed the Masechta Megillah from the shelf and opened up the Ran on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph and began to read out loud. The Ran there refutes the assumption that says Megillah does not require appear in a list of things that require a minion on today's daf, Megillah Chaf Gimel, when the reason Megillah with less than 10 discharges his obligation. Rabban writes that this is no proof, since reading the Megillah may differ from the things listed there. Regarding them, one of which is Torah reading, one needs to have a minion or the majority of one. So that's what the Ran says. You need to have a minion or a rov minion. So you read it wrong, explained Rav Chaim. You must pause between the words minion and the majority of the minion. The majority of the minion is only for Kaddish Baruch Hu. In other words, he says, you need a minion. And then majority of the minion refers to Kaddish Baruch Hu, which are the very next matters discussed after that phrase. We see then that by Torah reading, one might very well require full minion who have not yet discharged their obligation. Rav Chaim explained, don't think that I have such encyclopedic knowledge that every single round was clear in my mind when I told you that there was no such round to support your statement. I was, however, certain of one thing. The Chayadim states that he's unsure whether the Torah reading would cause the minion who have not yet heard the laning or not. I therefore knew for certain that no Ran could possibly state conclusively that the majority of the minion suffices. In other words, the Chayadim says it's not clear. It can't be a Ran that's proof against the Chayadim. Okay, so unless anybody has questions or comments, of course, I think we're going to read it tonight. All right, quiet group tonight. But let me say goodbye to everybody. Oh, let me end the recording first. 1 second. Thank you.